Welcome to Step Into Magic, your weekly online radio show on how to develop your psychic ability, deepen your spirituality, and find your own true purpose. Presented by acclaimed medical intuitive, Josephine Lang. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, Josephine has been a clairvoyant healer for more than 25 years. Over the decades, she has helped thousands of people from around the world to heal from hard-to-diagnose and chronic health issues. She's also been a teacher and spiritual mentor for hundreds of people who treasure her insights, courage, and love. My name is Anthony Taylor, and I'm your host for our weekly broadcast, which is a part of the Wisdom and Intuition Network at metaphysicalwisdom.com. This week, Josephine will be speaking on the topic of finding meaning in our dreams, a guiding force for good.
Hello, everyone. I'm so very glad to be back. As you may hear, my voice is not completely 100% recovered, but I'm hoping it's good enough for our show today. Tonight, I'll be taking a look at all of the different types of dreams that we have and which ones are the most beneficial for us to spend time pulling out the meanings from. We'll also spend some time working with a few dreams to glean the wisdoms that they can offer. But before we go into these topics any further, I always like to begin our show with a spiritual agreement. So I ask that you all please make this with me, and it goes like this. Together we acknowledge that everything that we think and that we say and that we do at this time will be of the highest good. And together we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. Can you all agree?
I do.
Great, and thank you so much. That was a gift from my spiritual teacher and mentor, Jana Massey, and I invite you all to use it in your lives, too. It's a really wonderful agreement. So I'd like to start off tonight by talking about one of the favorite things that I've done in my life, which is on a couple of different occasions I've formed a dream group with friends, and it's a really wonderful way to get to know people on a deep and meaningful level. You know, so often we do something like we go out to dinner together or we go and watch movies together or that sort of thing, but it doesn't really form those deep bonding relationships. But if you study your dreams with a group of friends, you really get to know each other very deeply, and it's a wonderful way for us to share our lives together. So I'd really like to encourage you to form a dream group if you can, and it's actually a very simple thing to do. You just, you know, think of somebody that you'd like to spend some more time with and invite them to start a dream group. And it really helps if you have a regular place where you meet every week or every other week, like, you know, the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at, you know, Linnea's Cafe or something like that, or at somebody's home. It's a great thing to do. And then you just have some little tea and maybe some little snacks. They usually share a little fruit, you know, bring an apple or something and slice it up and have a cup of tea together. And then take turns sharing a dream as you go around the table. And it's probably best to keep these groups kind of small because that way the meetings don't last so very long. I found that five members at the top end, you would usually 2 hours, you can easily get through everybody's dream. And then you can sort of work with each other at pulling the meanings out. Now, I do a lot of my own dream interpretation on my own at home every morning, but I find that every once in a while there's a dream that I wouldn't mind a little help from or a little alternative perspective. And so those are the ones that I take to my dream group when I'm in one. And it's a great thing to do. So I really encourage you all to try to form a dream group if you feel like you'd like to. And there are four main ways of interpreting dreams that we're going to be covering today. And, of course, there's many, many others, but there are good reasons for us to interpret our dreams. The main thing is that it kind of gives us a daily reading on ourselves. It reveals insights that might be lurking around the edges of our psyche that we haven't fully got, and kind of brings them to the forefront. And it also reflects who we are to ourselves, so we can really see who we are creating in ourselves with every moment and every thought of our day. Our dreams sort of give us a little report on that, and it's a wonderful thing to take a look at. It also, our dream time and our interpretation of our dreams, I think this is perhaps one of the most important things, is it really gives the other aspects of our psyche a chance to be heard. So our subconscious mind is busy all the time, and it's, you know, taking note of everything that we think and that we do, and it's also running our bodies and taking care of, you know, our hearts and our lungs and our kidneys and everything else. And also our deep feelings and our deep beliefs and our fears and our thoughts about the world is keeping track of all of that. But we rarely know what's going on in our subconscious mind unless we really take the time to spend time thinking about it. So one wonderful benefit of our dreams is that our dreams give us an opportunity to listen to the messages that our subconscious mind would like to give to our conscious mind. Because most of the time in our conscious mind, we're not paying any attention to what's going on in the subconscious. We're just acting and going about our days, and we think that we're creating our whole lives fresh in every moment. But a lot of times we're running on autopilot with things that are happening in that deep subconscious. And if we pay attention to our dreams, we more accurately know what's going on in that subconscious mind. And then as well, our dreams give us an opportunity to receive messages from our superconscious mind. Now, we can and do receive messages from our superconscious mind during our waking state, during our normal conscious mind, our normal mind, normal way of being. And the superconscious usually delivers its messages in terms of inspirations or ideas. We think, oh, that'd be a great idea. Wow, what a good thought. Oh, yeah, I should do that. That's when our superconscious mind is talking to us.
So, Josephine, is that just like the higher self then, the superconscious mind?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the high self, the low self, the day-to-day self is another way to look at it. And the superconscious or the higher self is another way to call it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then as well, I feel that only the dreamer really knows the meaning of their dream. So though it's tempting to try to tell somebody else what their dream might mean, it's good to really realize that whatever you're telling them probably only really fits for you. That's your interpretation of that dream as it would be for you. And so I like to always let everybody come up with their own interpretations and let them try to, you know, try to pull the meaning out by giving different tools. So that's why I like to teach this information. It's information that I learned from others, and I'm just only too happy to share it, because it helps us to learn how to get the meaning from our dreams on our own. And also, it really helps if we can look at our dreams in terms of the context of our life, of what's going on in our life at the time that we've had the dream. So, and then also, too, we can borrow dreams. So if somebody else has a dream, like I was just saying, if you're listening to somebody else's dream, you can use that dream to bring interpretations to your own self from the context of your own life. And as well, I sometimes use older dreams. So if I haven't had a dream lately, I might flip back in my dream journal and pick out an old dream, dust it off, and bring it forward and use it again. And it'll still be able to bring me meaning in the context of my life right now. So though it brought meaning before, maybe a year or two before, it can still bring me meaning right now. It's what's going on in my life right now. So with that, maybe we should go to slide one, because I'd like to go ahead and get into the different types of dreams, because some of them are better for interpretation than others. So if you could show that first slide, Tony. And thank you, Frank, so much for making these beautiful slides for us today. So this is a group of dreams that are what I would call external influence dreams. So the first one there you see is environmental. And these would be the sounds and sensations that we might have while we're sleeping. So let's say a cat is outside meowing. Well, that we might have a dream of a baby crying. Or let's say there's raindrops landing from a gutter. Plunk, 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 plunk. We might have a dream where we're hearing somebody knocking on the door. Or maybe there's some wind chimes out there that are clanging away. We might have a dream about a chef who's cooking with them, using a lot of pots and banging them around on the stove. So that type of dream is not going to be so great for interpretation, for gaining greater self-knowledge. And then another example of an external influence in our dreams would be a clearinghouse dream. So I used to have a lot of these kind of dreams when I was working in a library in the reserve room. There were lines that would line up out the door for students who were waiting to borrow those books. And I would dream that I was, you know, waiting, having all these people running out the line. And it was just basically clearing off the energy of the day. Usually these clearinghouse dreams happen early in the evening. They're kind of like, you can eliminate them if you meditate before going to sleep. So it's just sort of a way to let off a little steam. A teacher might dream that they're grading papers, or somebody who drives professionally, maybe a truck driver, they might dream that they're driving. So those are some examples of clearinghouse dreams. Again, not so great for interpretation and for gaining greater self-knowledge. Then as well, there's a very interesting type of dream that's known as the twin soul dream. And in these dreams, there is we actually assume a different persona. And I have one where I will occasionally dream that I'm this woman named Violet who lives in this big Italian family. And it always takes, these dreams always take place in the family home in Italy, and there's always the same characters there. And there's nobody that I know in this lifetime. But there's a part of me that is sort of connected with Violet. And somehow, every once in a while, I will dream what I believe to be her dreams when I'm dreaming my dreams. And I've heard of others who have had twin soul dreams. There's a friend of mine who's a farmer who sometimes dreams that she's in an office situation at a desk with a job. And the main signature of a twin soul dream, how you know that it's not so much of a teaching dream, is that there's a deep sense of familiarity, and it usually reoccurs in the same setting, and it feels very day-to-day. It doesn't feel like it has a message behind it. It feels like, oh, here we are, we're in the kitchen, and we're drinking tea. And another friend of mine, a female friend, has had a number of combat dreams where she was a man in combat in Vietnam. And she feels that those are twin soul dreams, that those are somebody that she would have known that she never got a chance to meet because she feels he died perhaps in Vietnam. Another example of an external influence dream is what I call the parade of faces dream. And this dream happens where we are just getting ready to doze off to sleep, and we suddenly notice an image of a face that just sort of comes before our psyche, and then it fades away, and another face comes, and it fades away. And it might be that one is an old sailor with wizened, you know, face and lots of lines and maybe some wispy gray hair. And then the next one that comes might be of a young girl who's maybe, you know, got a bow in her hair. And then the next one that might come might be of a farmer who's, you know, proudly holding up her tomatoes, and or, you know, any number of faces as they just come and go. And these dreams are usually common for people who are either psychic or people who are artists. They can just come, these parades of faces. And so again, that particular dream is not one that you would gain a lot of self-knowledge about. However, if you wouldn't mind showing the next slide, then Tony, we'll move on to transformational dreams.
Sunny.
And these are really good teaching dreams. These are the dreams that we can really use to gain greater knowledge about ourselves. And the first one is the teaching dream, and then the second one is the lucid dream. So with the teaching dreams, these dreams usually inform our psyche of something that we'd like to know, and it's either a message from our higher self or from our subconscious mind. And they usually occur first thing in the morning, right in the early morning. And when we first wake up, those are the dreams that we try to catch. And last week we spoke quite a lot about how to catch your dreams, how to remember them, because we all do dream many times a night. And people who feel that they don't dream, it's just that they don't yet know how to recall their dreams. And these dreams give us messages and guidance or spiritual progress, how we're doing spiritually in our growth. And the main thing is that they give us insights and knowledge about ourselves. And that's such an important thing for us to do, to know ourselves, to know who we are. They also tell us where we're headed, and they give us information on faults that we might need to correct. And they also inform us about beliefs about ourselves and about the world. And then as well, and I love this part, they can give us advice on health or on relationships. And they are often called revelations of the night. And, you know, we spend over a third of our lives sleeping. And without sleep, we die. So it's a really good thing to you know, embrace this aspect of ourselves? And why not live that third of a life and discover the purpose of it? And so that's why I like to do a lot of dream interpretation and really take the time to figure out what my dreams mean. And one of the things that I do to get started is when I've had a dream and I've caught it and written it down, and like I said, if you listen to last week's show, you'll hear a really good example of just how that is best done. Then it's a good idea to go ahead and name that dream. Give it a title so you can kind of have a handle for it. And then another thing that I really like to do when I first awaken and catch a dream is to remember what the feelings were that I had on awakening. It's a really good thing for us to do. And then another type of transformational dream, meaning that it can really help us to change our lives, is the lucid dream. And this is where a part of the dreamer is conscious and aware of the dream state and directs the action of the dream. And the practice of meditation can really help us to increase our witness ability, the ability to watch ourselves or to notice what we're doing. And that's a great skill to bring into the act of lucid dreaming, because when we are doing lucid dreaming, we want to be able to notice our action and then direct the action. And there was a dream that I shared last week that was called the ball and pipe dream. And this was a dream where a young man was about to be overtaken by a great silver ball. And he directed the action by noticing and creating a pipe next to the road and a pothole right in the middle of the road. And he was able to pick up the pipe and set it into the pothole and use it to brace against the ball, to stop the ball. And it changed his life. He wound up having a complete transformation. And we'll be speaking more about lucid dreams next week, so I hope you'll join us for that. Now, let's see here. The kitty just came in and laid down on my notes, so I have to toss her out. There she goes. All right. Yeah, so, well, with that, why don't we go ahead and go into your dream, Tony, that you had this morning?
Oh, certainly. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, this morning, Josephine and I, we sat down at the table to have a chat about the radio show, and I recalled a dream that I'd had last night. And so Josephine said, well, why don't we explore it by you drawing the dream? So that's what I did. I sat down with a pen and paper, and I drew a big circle on the piece of paper, and then I drew my dream inside, and then around it, I on the outside of the circle, I wrote in various ideas and impressions and thoughts that came to me.
It was quite a beautiful drawing you did, too. I was really impressed.
Well, that's very generous of you. I wouldn't say it was beautiful. But anyway, perhaps I should, shall I share the dream? And,
yeah, why not?
Okay, well, I named it. And I named it, my dream is called Big Teeth in Cardiff. And Cardiff is a city in Wales, back in Britain, where I used to live. And the feeling I had upon awakening after this dream was I was feeling a bit confused. So here's the dream. I'm in the living room of a home in Cardiff. A young man sits in a chair next to his wife or girlfriend. He is talking about his life to an older couple whom I don't see. He explains that he sold the books that he inherited for £24,000, but he has now spent all the money. The older woman rebukes him. She says, if you hadn't sold the books, you'd still have them to read now. I notice that the young man has grey, discoloured teeth, which are very large. I look at his girlfriend. Her teeth are also very large, but white. When I look closer, I see that each large tooth is encased in a tiny white pillowcase. I can see the stitching, tiny pieces of black thread. I wonder what I'm doing here with this young couple. It is Saturday, a free day, so I should be doing something useful. I'm not sure what to do with my day, but I feel I should do something. Then I remember there is an Alexander Technique training day taking place in Cardiff, so I decided I will go there. I tell the young couple that I'm going to leave now. I ask the young woman to fetch my bag or something so that I can go. But instead, she begins to dance around the room. Time is of no concern to her. She just keeps dancing. The next thing I know, I'm trying to park my car in Pencifferley, or Pencifferley, depending on how you pronounce it, road, where I used to live in Cardiff, but there's no room. I have to drive further and further away from the Alexander Technique class before I can park my car. Then I realize that the Alexander class is not in Cardiff this weekend, but in Bristol. I've come to the wrong place after all. And then I wake up. So, as Josephine recommended, I stretched you through this dream, and I have it in front of me now. And I've drawn the couple with the large teeth, with the little bags, pillowcases over their teeth. And there's me trying to park the car. And as I was doing this, I remembered the feeling of not having a clear sense of what to do with my free time. And afterwards, I wrote the following message to myself. And it was, before setting off again, first check you're going to a place you really want to go to, and it's actually where you think it is. And then it was also a later thought that, you know, perhaps it might be better just to spend my time dancing if I don't have anywhere in particular to go. But some aspects of the dream, we got much deeper with this drawing, still haven't yet offered up their secrets. For example, the £24,000, I'm still not sure what that means. And then the white pillowcases for my teeth. I got to thinking that white symbolizes the new for me and gray the old. But I'm still not sure what those funny little pillowcases were all about. And so the plan that I have is to ask for clarification from further dreams. And the good news is that following last week's show, where we talked a lot about dream recall and strategies for doing that, I'm now remembering dreams every single morning, and usually, you know, three of them.
Isn't that great?
It's fantastic. And I would say that one really good thing about drawing the dream is that it really does help you to get inside it, to remember the imagery and the various thoughts and feelings that you have. For example, when I look at the picture of the man, the drawing I have has reminded me of an old friend of mine that I used to live with in Bristol. But as I say, it feels like we began, and it's still a work in progress for me, this particular dream, and I'm going to wait for more things to come.
But it's so nice because you've already gleaned such a lot of wisdom from it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great. And, you know, this particular type of dream interpretation is really good for artists and people who have an active image center. We can really pull a lot of meaning when we take the pencil to paper and begin to make little sketches, you know, even if it's little stick figures or, you know, a little car driving around the edge of the circle. And you keep the whole drawing inside. You know, when I first do a drawing of a dream, I'll make the circle as big as I can on the paper, and then I put as much of the imagery in the dream in whatever order sort of seems to feel right. You know, they're always very haphazard. And another good thing about drawing the dream is, let's say I don't have a lot of time for interpretation in the morning. Maybe I've only got 5 minutes till I've got to pop out of bed. Well, usually I can get a pretty good drawing down pretty quick, whereas it might take me more like 15 minutes or so, 10 to 15, to really write out a long and complicated dream. But if I do a quick little sketch inside of a circle, I can usually remember the whole thing that afternoon and later on in the day. So it's a nice way for us to get our dream down on paper and to really catch it. So, Tony, maybe you can turn then to our third slide of the day.
Certainly.
And this is about frightening dreams. And I bring these up because so often we do have frightening dreams. They can leave a lasting impression on us. And it's a really nice thing, I think, especially to figure out frightening dreams, because often they can be the result of some sort of intense inner conflict inside of our psyche, and maybe a prolonged period of repression of an issue. And when we share these dreams with others, we can help to prevent their reoccurrence, because a lot of times these nightmares and things can be reoccurring. So this slide talks about nightmares and disaster dreams. These are the two frightening dreams. And they're often the result of either the subconscious mind or the superconscious mind trying to get the attention of our conscious mind. And it's something that our conscious mind just has been very unaware of for a prolonged period of time. And so these dreams, it's kind of like turning up the volume. They get louder and louder, and pretty soon, finally, we go ahead and catch them and pay attention to them. So we had a wonderful dream that was sent in by a woman named Linda from Australia, who wrote us a dream about driving. And she said, my reoccurring dream over the years, although not frequent, is I'm driving a car, a truck, or any vehicle. This is always part of a larger, always different dream story. And the scenario is always that I'm attempting to stop by braking. However, the vehicle will not stop quickly, no matter how hard I push my foot on the pedal or pull on the handbrake. I'm never harmed, even though I never get to dream where I become stationary. And then she goes on to say that last night I dreamed the same dream, except this dream, a red car came through the giveaway sign at a crossroads and hit me head-on in my UTE and badly damaged the front. The driver of the other car then looked like they were dead. And I was unhurt, except the collision pushed me backwards on a downhill slope, and I couldn't stop. Her foot was pushing on the brake pedal, and her hand was pulling on the handbrake. And the car behind me was an exotic make, and I was able to keep my distance by reversing to keep me from hitting them. And then she says, I would love if you could offer some insights into overcoming this dream. And then she went ahead and mentioned that she was going to follow the advice of the silver ball dream that I mentioned earlier, which we discussed last week, and go ahead and try to do a little bit of lucid dreaming with it. But I thought that this was a very interesting dream, and I wrote back to her and I said, could you give me a little more information about the context of your life, because that might help us to understand or get a better image for this dream. And, you know, would it be all right to share it on the radio? And she said she'd be delighted to have us share it, and she would have loved to have called in, but she's in a class right now, so she can't call in at this time. But she said that in her life right now, she is living at the invitation of a cousin through marriage with him and his elderly mother, who's in her mid-90s, and that the cousin has some problems with alcoholism and drinks and smokes and consumes a lot of sugar, even though he's got diabetes and has had a triple heart bypass. And she said that the house and the grounds, which is rather large, were needing a lot of work, and that she's done a lot of tidying up there, but that it always really bothers her to have when she's around people who are not taking good care of themselves. And then she also mentioned that she's in quite a lot of debt, and that though she's has been quite fluent financially in the past, she had a bad year where she got divorced and her mother died and her horse died and her dog died and she had a brain injury, and all of those things came together to, you know, result in some insolvency. And then she's following her passion and her dreams to create a business that involves, you know, helping people to heal land and water through practical and energetic means, including intention, and that has resulted in her incurring some debt. And so I decided that this would be a really easy dream to give us a demonstration using the Dream Dictionary. And one of the books that I have, you know, dearly loved over my life as a dreamer and use regularly is by Betty Bessards, and it's called The Dream Book, Symbols for Self-Understanding. And she's got a wonderful first 100 pages or so, that, or maybe 50 or 60 pages, that are just great, all about just general spirituality and understanding about the chakras and things. And it just kind of gives us a good way to move into the idea of dreams and dreaming. And then the rest of the book is spent on, like a dictionary, giving symbols, common dream symbols, and what they mean. And if you were to look in a dream dictionary 100 years ago or 50 or 60 years ago, if you looked up the word whale, you'd probably have something about Ahab and being swallowed by a whale, and the whale being portrayed as a frightening image and a dangerous image. Now, if you were to look in a dream dictionary about a whale, you would see something about a quite an evolved creature who lives in this vast universal space of the ocean, of the water, and is comfortable in the fluid of the emotions, and you know, maybe has higher ideals. So it really depends on the generation and the culture and your own personal interpretation of the words. But I think that Betty does a very nice job with her interpretation. And really, her dictionary is fabulous, but any dictionary will do. You can get a Webster's or an American Heritage dictionary and look up the words in there And they'll also shed meaning, light and meaning onto the dream. And so as I was looking at this particular dream, there were several words that struck me that would be good ones to pull out to look up in the dream. And the first one was to drive. And so what Betty says about driving is, to drive and be in the driver's seat is to be in control of your life. Note how you are driving, your position in the vehicle. And if you're not in the driver's seat, who is or what is running your life? So that's a good way to kind of get started, to look at, okay, so in this case, our dreamer is doing the driving. Then the next word that I looked up was brake, because she's having difficulty braking. She can't brake no matter how hard she pushes on the pedal. And so Betty says that brake is a control point, and to use caution and to use brakes when needed and slow down. And then she goes on to say that no brakes means out of control, danger, stop. Examine a particular situation before moving ahead and slow down before moving on. Now, our dreamer also wrote a few other dreams, and in the two other dreams, red came up, the color red. And in this dream also, red was there. There was a red car. In the other dreams, she had red tomatoes, and I think there was something else that was red. So I looked up the color red, and red is for energy. It's for the life force and fertility and passion. And red can also mean anger and uncontrolled emotions. And it's the lowest vibration in the spectrum of the color spectrum, and it may mean that you need energy. Another word that I liked was crossroads. And, of course, when we're standing at a crossroads, we have choices. And then, additionally, down, downhill. So Betty said that down was the wrong direction in life. And it's important to take a look at what you're doing and to change directions. And then hill, she said, an opportunity for spiritual growth. And I think she was talking about moving uphill. And in this case, we're moving downhill, backwards, in reverse. And in this case of this dream, the reverse was the only way that she was able to get some control. And so what Betty said about reverse was change directions. You're going the wrong way. So I think that this particular dream book gives some information about this dream and about the situation that our dreamer has found herself in. And so I think that dream dictionaries can do a really good job. And so can regular dictionaries, because you get much the same kind of meanings from a regular dictionary if you were using one to interpret a dream like this. So let's see. With that, maybe we should go on to the group process dream.
So, Josephine, just to go back just slightly to the previous dream,
yeah.
Are you saying then that the ways using the dictionary, the meaning that you're gleaning from that is that it's a cautionary, kind of like slow down, you may need to change direction kind of dream?
Yeah, that's the way it felt to me. That's what
mm-hmm.
it felt like, like there was some sort of a deep part of the psyche here that was saying, you know, we're not so sure about this. And also the color red is indicative of the root chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And the root chakra is the part of ourselves that's involved with our security and our survival and our purpose in life. And so there's some fears that are coming up from the subconscious mind or perhaps from the superconscious mind, but my feeling is that it's more from the subconscious mind, that there is need for reassurance to the subconscious mind that either that all is well, which I believe all is well all the time and that there are no mistakes, but that in this dreamer's psyche there's feelings that this is the wrong way to go and that this is frightening.
Because you said at the beginning that only the dreamer could really interpret the dream. So what do? You offer this to the dreamer, and then the dreamer has to see how it fits in their own experience.
Exactly.
And whether it provokes a reaction.
Yeah, and this is in terms of using the dream dictionary as
mm-hmm.
the means to kind of go through, and then also the context of the life. And so our dreamer shared with us the context of
mm-hmm.
her life. And then just using the dictionary to pull out some of those key symbols then you can kind of see, well, what is going on in the psyche? What is the feelings that are deep inside of that would create this dream? And if there are any changes that might be needed to either appease the psyche, or if there's some education to do to the psyche to reassure it that all is well, really.
Mm-hmm.
So then the dreamer would just take whatever line of action feels most appropriate.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the recurring dreams can be warnings, or they can be letting off some steam. And recurring dreams can also be pleasant. They can also be a blessing. And there was a recurring dream that I used to have when I would get out of school for the summer, and that it was that I could fly. And this was when I was a girl. It was, it sort of said how I felt about school, because as soon as I was out, I was flying.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also be a blessing on a new adventure. There was one person that I knew who used to have a parade in her dreams. She would be in a parade whenever she had had a success in her business life or in her relationship life. It was kind of a fun thing. And then when we have recurring dreams, if we make a change in the dream world, that can empower us to make a change in the waking world. And if we make a change in the waking world, that can affect a change in the dream world. So we can go either way. And like I said, you know, reoccurring dreams can be a warning, or they can be a delayed trauma syndrome, or they can be letting off some steam. They can be a message that we still need to get. For example, I've made a poor choice in lovers again. You know, we might have the same reoccurring dream whenever that's happened. Something like that.
I mean, I get a lot of recurring motifs in my dreams, but I don't actually think I've had the recurring dream phenomenon before.
Yeah, I get a lot of recurring motifs as well, and then I had that recurring dream of flying. And I've had a lot of recurring dreams of flying, different kinds and types of flying. I sometimes do what I call fly dancing, where I start off dancing, and before I know it, I've lifted off and I've come up into the air. But when I was a child, I had a very frightening reoccurring dream, which was that my mother had put me in the oven, and I was pregnant, and she was baking me, and she would open the door and press on my belly to see if it was done. And that dream used to scare the heck out of me as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's in part why I chose not to be a parent in my adulthood, because it was a very frightening thought to have children. So I thought, bad idea, I'm not going there.
It's a very powerful dream.
Very powerful. So our recurring dreams can, you know, both be pleasant or they can be frightening. That's really kind of one of those things. And they can also mark changes in our lives, like a new venture or a good choice or something, or a bad choice. So then our next slide is called programmed dreams. And one of my favorite program dreams is one that Carl Jung talks about, where we can get and ask for an ally in our dreams. And an ally is a helper, somebody who comes to us to help. And usually it's an image or an animal or a figure that is larger than life. And I once asked for an ally dream, and I found that I was standing on some scaffolding and brushing some black hair. And it was on a very large area and very long strands of hair. And I realized that there were maybe 50 or 60 other people like myself all standing on scaffolding around this gigantic horse. And we were all trying to groom the horse. And I realized, okay, so this is my ally, the horse.
Mm-hmm.
Very big horse. And usually... that's something that comes from our higher selves, from the bardos, from that place between the worlds, that helps us to communicate or to forgive or to heal. And another example of programmed dreams, which I just love this one, was Thomas Edison. And he used to take about 17 naps a day. And he would sit in this big chair. He'd work at his desk for a while with his inventions. And then he'd sit down in a big chair with a big ring of keys in his hand, and he'd dangle his wrist over the edge of the chair with the keys there. And then he'd fall asleep, and he'd just kind of think about his invention that he was working on the next step as he was falling asleep. And then he would fall asleep and have a quick little dream about it. And then when he would fall completely asleep and into a deeply relaxed state, the keys would fall out of his hands. And when the keys fell and hit the floor, that would wake him up. And then he'd pop up and go back to his invention.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I could do with doing that. Anyway, Josephine, one of our listeners, Jen from San Luis Obispo, has sent in a recurring dream that she has.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
So this is her message. Hello. I have a recurring dream about suddenly discovering, remembering that I have rooms full of goldfish in tanks that I have forgotten about, and I have to race around in a panic, not able to believe that I could have forgotten about these fish.
Oh, my goodness. That's quite a dream, Jen.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. After my horse died, I had dreams that I'd forgotten to take care of her. And that, you know, there she was being cared, fortunately, just frugally by other people, you know, at the ranch or wherever she was staying. But that I hadn't visited her in such a long time. And those dreams always spoke to me of not having cared to a part of my power, my freedom, my intuition, and my joy, all of which were represented by my horse. So I would have to say, Jen, that it would be a good idea to take a look at that symbol of the goldfish and see what exactly that means to you,
mm-hmm.
and how that affects you, because clearly this is a pretty significant image. And, of course, gold is such an extraordinary color, and goldfish really do portray that color like really no other animal or plant. They have that reflective quality that gold has that can really catch the light. And then fish are such a meaningful animal themselves. There they are swimming and living in the world of, you know, water. And water in our dream images is often about our emotions and our deep feelings. So there's something gold in that realm of the emotions that needs tending to in all these rooms. And a lot of times, buildings and houses in our dreams are parts of our body. And so it would be interesting to just see if there's anything gold that is inside of you in the different rooms of your life that needs tending to. And maybe take some action that way and see if that helps with that recurring dream. Or, you know, perhaps you can do it the other way around, too. Think about the dream while you're dreaming and become aware of the witness that is watching the dream and see if the witness can't suddenly conjure up somebody who's been taking care of the fish all along.
Mm.
Or let you realize that, no, really, it hasn't been weeks that you've forgotten it. It was only just an hour or two, and they're actually fine. So some change, either a change in the external world or a change in the dream world, to see if it brings about a change in the reoccurring nature of the dream.
So the fact that it is reoccurring, it gives it more significance, really, doesn't it?
Yes.
Suggests there's an ongoing situation.
Something that's trying to percolate up out of the psyche.
Yet it does have that feeling for me, more of a warning dream. It's like there's
yeah.
something that you're not attending to that's important and needs to be looked after.
Yeah, yeah. Some little something, an inner conflict or
mm-hmm. I mean,
something that's been repressed.
The goldfish, I was thinking a fish, something spiritual maybe, and gold,
yeah.
precious.
Yeah.
Something, you know,
right.
inner that's precious, that's not being looked after.
And then another thing that we can do to help tease the meanings out of our dreams, and another reason why a dream group is so important, is to just hear what the different people have
mm-hmm.
to say. So my little thoughts on fish and gold were a little different from Tony's
mm-hmm.
thoughts on fish and gold. And so getting, you know, kind of taking a poll amongst your friends as to what they, and then see what resonates with you, because maybe one person's ideas seem right and another person's ideas seem, no, not really on track. And so it doesn't mean that they're wrong. It's just that they're not quite right, good fit for you. And it's probably just perfect for that person, though, if it was their dream. And then just go from there. And that brings us nicely into our group dream process.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to read your dream? Or?
Thank you, Jen. Well, why don't you go ahead and I'll give my voice a little rest.
Okay. Okay, so this is I'll read to you now Josephine's dream, which she named The Lady is with Child. And she says that she awoke with a feeling sense of a duty and responsibility for a shared creation.
Yeah, and this was yesterday morning's dream.
Oh, okay.
It was the third in a series of dreams.
So, this is Josephine's dream. I'm standing with a beautiful blonde woman in her 20s who is wearing a gray nurse's costume with white collar, shoes, and cap. I'm speaking to a government official at a desk. She is giving him a long, over-the-shoulder look without a smile, knowing that he knows and cannot deny the truth of the matter, that she is pregnant, and the young man he is trying to deny must come forward and own up to his duties and obligations. He knows she is right and in truth, and he will deliver. There is nothing else he can do. So, Josephine then asked me if I would retell her the dream as if I had, as if it had been my dream, and then give my interpretation. Now, interestingly, in my retelling of the dream, the young man was actually present, and I realize now, having just read it, that he wasn't necessarily present at all, but that's what I imagined. And so here's my interpretation. I am a young woman, and there is something I need to give birth to. My inner male needs to take steps to ensure that this happens so that I can give birth to whatever it is that is inside me. So, Josephine, shall I go on to Frank's?
Yes.
Okay. So then we offered the same dream to Frank, and we asked him to retell it. And interestingly, in Frank's retelling of the dream, the government official says or expresses the view, I get it. I get it. So here's Frank's interpretation. There is a generative feminine aspect of myself which is trying to bring something forward, but it needs a masculine energy to help carry the responsibility and bring it forward, but is reluctant. But there is an aspect of my psyche that is more the enforcer, a no-nonsense ruling judge that is going to press the issue that the masculine aspect will take part and bring this fruition and not abandon it.
Mm.
Yeah. And so then we asked Ina, we told him the dream and asked him to retell it. And in his retelling of the dream, Ina was unsure of the fatherhood. Who is the father? So here's Ina's interpretation. It bugs me that the lady's dress is grey with some white aspects of this get-up. Not only is she is she not taking responsibility for her part? And why is a government official involved? Is there some sort of cover-up? Is he like a father figure, and does she need approval? But there is definitely a need to bring forth the child in the situation. I see some confusion in her for the process. Okay? And then we did the same with Chloe. And in Chloe's retelling of the dream, she seemed to get all the details correct. She didn't seem to introduce any of her own elements. She just gave a correct rendition, just as Josephine had dreamed it. And this was Chloe's interpretation. In my dream, my role is to be an advocate for this young woman and voice the truth as it is for her. I think this young woman is in a nurturing or caring role, but she needs me to stand up for her rights. There are times in my life when I have felt I needed to stand up for women in my family. One sister is trained as a nurse, and the other sister is pregnant. So there we go. Very interesting connection,
yes,
at the end.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then my interpretation, what I got from it, was that, and this was one in a series of dreams. There were three dreams that morning that I caught. And this was the culminating dream, the third one. The first dream was sort of about joy and fun and dancing around and having a good time and exploring new places. And there was also the image of the waxing and the waning moon, and that it was waxing again, that it was opening up and fulling, becoming full again. And in the middle dream, it was about, there were these, which I'll talk about a little bit later, I was doing a painting of a creek, and on it I wrote, you know, that it was possible on the painting. And so there was that feeling that not only is it possible, but it's well and good. And then with this final dream with this young woman, I got the feeling that all of these dreams in this series, they were all about the radio show, and that I've created it, and I can own up to my responsibility to it and carry on. And that the feminine aspect within me, the part that's within myself, is very capable of a cure. Not only is this young woman in the dream capable and healthy and young, but she's also a nurse, so she knows how to take care of herself and others. And so my feeling was, yeah, if I just release my, you know, of course, since I've had this laryngitis and I had to have a couple of replays. Well, the first was, but the second one was, you know, because of my voice was gone. And then today I was like, well, can I do it? I think I can. And this dream came forward just in time, night before last, to say, of course you can. It's all right. Just go within, think about it, and it'll all come out beautifully. So there you go.
So Josephine, how do you feel like hearing the other people's interpretations of the dream impacted on your own?
Well, I really loved it. I especially loved Frank's, where he said, you know, I get it. Okay, you're right. This is important. And you know, that's one of the nice things about a group dream process is some of them will really ring true and some of them not so true. So, for instance, with Einar's interpretation, there wasn't too much there that really struck me as being appropriate for my interpretation of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
I knew who the father was in my dream. Einar wasn't so sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was possibly more about him than about you.
Who knows?
Who knows?
It's just his way of looking
or
at
just
that.
Just the thing that the universe presented there, yeah.
But it does show the different psyches. And, you know, Frank is a very responsible person. He takes a lot of personal responsibility. He's like, okay, I'm the official. I get it. This is, yeah, we've got to do this.
And now we've got to take action.
Right. And in your interpretation, you know, oh, yes, there's something in my feminine aspect that I need to give birth to, that I need to bring forward, and I need to take steps to ensure that's well protected. You know, so that was a little more of a flavor coming out of your psyche and beautiful. But that one didn't quite fit so much for me, although it's very lovely, and I certainly can relate to it. But mine was a little more like, yeah, I've created it. It's good. It's in good hands. It's, you know, in the hands of my yin, my inner feminine. It's going to be just fine. And, yeah, so long as we own up to my own responsibility, which is my inner masculine, who was kind of dodging the bullet at the time, saying, wait a minute, you want me to do a radio show? I don't know. I don't even have a voice right now. But I guess I'll come forward and be culpable.
Okay. Josephine,
yes.
Jen has given us a bit more information about her dream.
Oh,
and I know we don't have
a
lot of time, so I think perhaps I should share this with you now.
Yes, and then we'll go on to finish off the last two slides.
Okay, and she just has added, my fish are dying, and I haven't fed them, and the water is evaporated.
Oh, gosh, Jen. Good heavens. Well, if this were my dream and my fish were dying, I would have to say, and because the water has evaporated, I would first and foremost look to the body and think, am I drinking enough water? Have I kept myself hydrated? Because so many of our situations in our life, inflammation in the body is the result of not having enough water. And I often will forget to hydrate myself appropriately. You know, we're supposed to each drink something like 128 ounces of liquid a day, which is quite a large amount. So that's a couple of smoothies and several cups of tea and a bunch of drinks of water and maybe something else, you know, in there too. So if the water is evaporating and if the fish are dying, then there's something that's deep in the psyche that's golden that does need your attention. And so taking the time to really look within and to maybe take a walk out in nature with this dream in mind and ask, you know, so often we forget to ask, what is it that that is dying within me? What is it that really needs my attention? And how can I give it that attention? And then once we know what the question is, just forget about it and go out and take a walk and let your inner computer run on it and maybe sit under a tree. And before you know it, the knowing will pop in and you'll get an understanding about it. So that's what I would recommend first and foremost to do, just to give yourself some time with it, to allow yourself the ability to pull in whatever it is. And then furthermore, you can also, maybe you can move on to that. Well, we probably have that slide on about the program dreams. So this slide has that little bit of information that says, this night I will have a dream that will bring me insight and guidance regarding whatever it is, state the problem. So in this case, Jen, you could say about this dream about the goldfish that are dying where the water is evaporating and where I haven't taken care. And then upon awakening, I will easily recall and understand the meanings of this dream. I am open and receptive to all information about this situation that's in accordance with my highest self. And so when we go ahead and fall asleep with our intention, this is usually something that I'll do if I have a problem like this and I really want more information about it, and it can be any problem in my life, not only a dream interpretation, but any other problem, I'll go ahead and say those words to myself just as I'm about to drift off to sleep. And then, since it's not being put as a question, could I give myself a dream about this? That's a question, and that's not so likely to be answered because it always stays in the realm of a question. But if you use it as a statement like this one, I will have a dream that will bring me insight and guidance, then we are directing our subconscious mind to bring forth an image that can help us. Or we can just ask to awake knowing what the answer is, even without a dream. Just let me wake up knowing which direction I need to take. So we can go ahead and use those programmings for ourselves, for our deep psyche, to help us to bring resolve or to bring understanding that we need. And then, Tony, perhaps you can send the last slide there.
Certainly.
Which is future information dreams. And this is another type of dream that can, and these, again, are not so much needed for interpretation because usually we know what they mean as soon as we have them. And these can be premonitions. When I was a young girl growing up, my mother was a premonition dreamer, and on a couple of occasions she saved our lives with her dreams. And so that was always very surprising and wonderful. We were really glad she had that ability. And then another one that fits into this particular, a premonition is just some sort of foreknowing where we wake up knowing something. Like a real common one is when people wake up knowing that there's a friend in need. They might wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe it's 2 or 3 in the morning, and somewhere, you know, on another continent, that friend or son or daughter or relative has just had a serious trauma of some sort. Maybe they've gotten in a car accident or been badly frightened, and they'll wake up knowing that they have some sort of need. Another one that can happen is we can wake up in the middle of the night knowing that someone that we love has just passed away. You know, maybe grandfather or grandmother has just died. So those are foreknowing dreams, these premonition dreams. And another example of that that happens during the day is the deja vu. That's an example of a premonition or a foreknowing. Then as well we have shamanic dreams, which are like vision quests. And these were quite common with a lot of indigenous cultures, where the people have a knowing of what they go on a vision quest to ask what their direction should be in life. Another one is visionary dreams, and these happen on a mystical level of awareness, and they usually contain some sort of universal truth. And then there's the disembodied voice dreams. And this is where usually a piece of wisdom comes through, and they're quite common for writers. And I've had a few of these. I'm a writer myself, and sometimes I'll hear, Josephine, you know, do such and so. It's like, okay. You kind of get the point right there. And then also group dreams. You know, there was a group dream that I know of where the mother had passed away, and the whole household knew about it that night, and they all had the same dream. They'd all gotten together the night before and had a nice dinner, the family dinner, and they'd all told stories. And then that night the mother died, and the whole household of all the grown children and their families, everybody who was in the house had a dream with a certain similar motif. I think it was of a white bird that was flying underground, something like that. It was very intriguing. And then as well there are creative dreams. And these are sort of like a form of program dreams where we manifest a desire. I used to take naps and dream about choreography for my dance class that I was a member of. And it's a form of lucid dreaming. And like I said, we'll go into that more next week. So, and that's it for our slides today. And we just had one more little dream technique that we were going to go into, which is the dream teacher. Do you think we have time for that, Tony?
Not really.
Okay, then we'll save
we're
that.
We're kind of like out of time.
Okay.
But that would be great for us to do that next week. I think it needs a proper
time.
Amount of time.
Yeah, okay, that sounds lovely.
Okay, so let me just say then that the link to next week's show can be found on Josephine's website at stepintomagic.com. Just click on the top link menu for radio. And if you've enjoyed tonight's show, we really hope that you will tell your friends. So, Josephine, are there any parting words that you'd like to say?
Well, yes. I'd just like to briefly recap on these four main methods of dream interpretation that we covered today. And the first is the dictionary, and any dictionary will do, but I like Betty Bathard's The Dream Book, Symbols for Self-Understanding. And the second one is drawing a dream, drawing a circle, big circle on a piece of paper and drawing your dream on the inside. It's very good for artists. And it really helps us to bring a lot of deep imagery to our dreams, and it helps to flesh out the feelings, and it's a good way to catch a dream quickly. And then the third is group dreaming technique, which is a really fun process where each person borrows the same dream, and they say what this dream means to me, and it sheds light on the interpretation for the original dreamer. So I just want to thank you all so much for the gift of your time today. And in closing, I'd like to share this little blessing with you, which is, as our gifts are given in love, they are received in love, and we honor their wise use and their increase for all concerned. And so it is.
Thank you so much for that, Josephine. As always, it's been a real pleasure talking with you, and I trust that everyone listening has learned lots about dream interpretation, as well as all the different types of dreams. This is
Tony, and I wish you all insight, wisdom, and magic as you pursue the journey of inner knowing, and I hold you all in light and in love. Thank you so much for listening. This is Josephine Lyon. Until next week, good night.